So do you remember the last time you spent some real time around a campfire? I mean, that smell, you know, that gets into everything. It's very distinct, isn't it? I mean, you can be a part of a campfire and you throw your clothes in the dirty clothes. And if you don't wash them for a couple days, the house starts smelling like the flames of the fire. It's one of those things where you know you've been to a campfire. Or maybe it's that hypnotic kind of effect it has on us as we gaze into the fire. I know for many of us guys, it's one of those things where we can look into the fire. We can stare into the fire and watch the flames burn for hours and hours, and we never get bored. I don't know if that's like God, how God wired us or what, but it is what it is. Or maybe for you, it's like, maybe it's all about the marshmallows or the s'mores when it comes to a campfire. In fact, that's kind of the growing joke for my refresh group. I'm always figuring out a way that we could have a campfire and we can roast some marshmallows. Now, how many of you, there's a lot of different ways to make a s'more. How many of you are kind of like the lightly toasted, the light brown type of marshmallow roaster? Just raise your hand if you are that kind. Take a while, roast it really good. Okay, put your hands down. Not me. I'm kind of like, instead of the lightly roasted, I'm like the nuclear torching kind of person. You know, I put it in the fire, I let it burn for a while, and then I put it out. And because I want it to taste like I've been to a campfire, I want it to have that scent and that taste. And you know what I mean. You know, one of the things I love most about a campfire is not just all the stuff that happens, but the conversations that happen around a campfire. You know what I'm talking about. It's one of those things where people, there's something about it where as you sit around, now of course you can make jokes about singing Kumbaya and all this stuff, but it's one of those things as we sit around the fire, you have conversations sometimes with people that you wouldn't have other places. They just seem to have this, it has this effect where they seem to be able to share freely and without any kind of barrier about who they are. They share about monumental stories that have shaped their life and what God has done in and through them. Some of their struggles, some of their doubts, and even some of the best moments that happen around a campfire. And you know, God is a God who seemed to do some of his best work around a campfire as well. And I don't know what it is. It's one of those things where all throughout the scripture, there's story after story of people whose lives were changed around a campfire. It's almost like God would come to people in their lives and God would speak to people and God would work in their lives. These important conversations, monumental moments in their faith happened around campfires. And it all starts all the way back in the Old Testament. There were stories in the Old Testament going all the way back to people like Abraham and people like Moses. And then we go forward in the Bible, and they're all throughout. There's a bunch of them. But there's even one of the most powerful stories, one of the most important stories, happened in the New Testament with Jesus. After the resurrection, he was on a beach, and he met with one of his disciples, Peter, and he restored him into a relationship with him. But it all happened around a campfire. So there's all these moments that happened in the scripture. And so it's one of those things that God seems to look for those kind of moments. It's almost like he seems to seek people out at campfires. And if you think about it, it kind of makes sense because when you're at a campfire of some kind, a campfire usually means that you're somewhere away from home. That's usually why you set up camp, right? Unless you do it in my backyard, like I try to get us to do all the time in my group. But anyway, but a campfire kind of implies in some kind of way that you are in between in some kind of way. That you're in between on a journey between where you were before and where you're going next. So you're in between, waiting on what God has for you next. And I think that God has this pattern where he seems to meet people who are on a journey. Sometimes people who are in the in-between place. And so when you think about your life, maybe you can think of some place in your life where maybe in some kind of way you're in between. Now, in between can mean a lot of things. Maybe it could be for you, it's some kind of a spiritual way. You're in between while you're on a journey. Maybe you're not where you once were, but you know there's a whole lot of growth and a whole lot of things that Jesus wants to do in your life. You're in between, maybe spiritually. Maybe for you, it's a relational thing. Like maybe there's a relationship in your life where it just seems like there's something that's in between. You're in between where you are and where you're going. Maybe it's something with your physical body, like it's just an in-between thing. Maybe there's an opportunity or a calling. Maybe it's like, maybe you know that you have been used by God before, but you're in between what God wants to do in your life next, and you're waiting, you're in between. And I don't know what that is for you, but I know there's a lot of places in our lives where we can find ourselves in between. And I know that in those moments, God seems to meet people in powerful ways. Whether it's around a campfire or not, God meets us in those places. And so what we're going to do in this series over the next 4 weeks is, as we go through this campfires series, I'm going to look at four different campfire events that happened in the scripture. And we're going to spend some time unpacking them and what happened and how God met with people. And the goal of this series isn't just to use campfire as a light connect to just tell some stories, just so we learn some stuff up here in our head. But really the goal is kind of an invitation so that maybe you can pull up a seat and listen to how God might be speaking to you, how God might be wanting to call you or move you, or how God might want to move you from the in-between place you are to where he wants to take you next. And so today we are going to be looking at the most popular, I think, campfire story of all time. It's the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 3, the second book of the Bible. If you have your Bibles or your Bible app on your smartphone, you can turn there to Exodus chapter 3. We're not going to jump around today. We're just going to camp out, if you will, in this passage. But anyway, so Exodus chapter 3, before we get into it, a lot of times in the New Testament, we can just kind of say, all right, here's what happened. But let me give you a little bit of background so we don't just run ahead and forget what's happened before. I think it's important. So here's a little bit about Moses. Moses was born a Hebrew. Basically, he was born as one of God's chosen people. He was part of the family of God. But his life was dramatically saved when he was a baby. He was living in Egypt. He was born in Egypt. And the Egyptian Pharaoh was trying to kill every baby that was, you know, to a certain age. And I can't even fathom this, and it's hard to even say it on Mother's Day. But his mother, Moses' mother, did the only thing that she knew how to do in order to save her baby's life, to pack him in a basket and to ship him down the Nile River, to essentially say bye to him and to pray super hard that somehow God would intervene. You know, when we sang that song, "Oh My God, He Will Not Delay," like, and we say, "I lift my eyes, from where does my help come from?" This is kind of the prayer Moses' mom would have been praying as she sent him down. One of the greatest acts of love. I don't want him to be killed by them. God, please save this child. And God intervened. In fact, in such a strange way, God, basically as he's going down the river, one of Pharaoh's daughters. Pharaoh's like the most important ruler in all the area. One of Pharaoh's daughters who opposed the people of God took Moses in, heard his cry as a baby. And he raised Moses, even though he was born a Hebrew, raised him as a prince in Egypt. This is really, really ironic because the people in Egypt, the Egyptians, they hated God's people. In fact, God's people were in slavery for 400 years, about 400 years, because of the Egyptians. And so this is weird that Moses is kind of living a double life, if you will. Hebrew, and yet one of the princes in Egypt. And so think about this. He had so much potential in his life. I mean, he's living as a prince in Egypt, which meant a lot of things. It meant that he had a life of privilege, meant he had a life of luxury. But at the same time, one day Moses saw this Egyptian man who was beating a Hebrew slave, one of his people. And Moses got so angry when he saw that. And when he saw the oppression, he looked at this scene and in this fit of rage, he killed the man. He killed this man, this Egyptian man. Tried to cover it up and all sorts of things, and that never works out. And so he felt, you know, this kind of weird nudge to protect God's people, but also to be used by God and to serve God in some kind of way. But the problem was he tried to do it with only his strength. He tried to do it with only his way. And anytime we try to serve the Lord in any kind of way, when we try to serve with only our power and our strength, or we try to do it only our way, it never turns out well. That was true with Moses. And so Moses ended up having to flee from this luxurious life in the palace in Egypt. And he fled all the way to the hard life of the desert in Midian. And so he's living in Midian, but God gave him a lot of peace and security while he was in this hard place in the desert. It's kind of what all of us seem to pray for and want. I mean, if we really think about what are the things that we really want in our lives? What are the things that we really pray for? That a lot of times we pray for things for our family. We pray for good health. We pray that God would provide in some kind of way. But oftentimes we have this prayer that's basically, God, give me security, give me protection, and in some kind of way, give me peace. And this is kind of what Moses had. He kind of settled down. He met a girl and he got married. They had kids. And God even allowed him to have this really good job that was actually very, very predictable in his life. For 40 years, Moses, who fled from Egypt, who was once a prince, 40 years he worked in a desert as a shepherd. I guess we could also say a sheep herder, right? But it's one of those things where his life was really predictable. Every single day he got up and did the same thing. And he liked it. It was comfortable. Here's kind of what it went. Here's what his day looked like. It was kind of like this. Sheep, dust, walk, repeat. Sheep, dust, walk, repeat. Sheep, dust, walk, repeat. And for some of you, you can insert your own life into this whole thing, because so many of us are living this very similar life as what Moses was. It's a life that's very comfortable. It's kind of predictable in a lot of ways. For so many of us, it's get up, get ready, go to work, eat some food, come home, be with your family, go to sleep, and then we do it all over again. Or insert your own situation, whatever that is. But like so many of us, Moses found himself really content with where he was, kind of seeing himself just staying there forever. It was comfortable. In fact, that was until God intersected his life around a campfire. So I want you to check out the story in Exodus chapter 3 of the call of God on Moses' life. Exodus chapter 3. We're going to be reading 1 through 15, but we'll break it up a little bit, starting with 1 through 5. Here's how it goes. It says this. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over to and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. So God had piqued his curiosity. Here's what it says, verse 4. It says, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. There's a lot of power in these words, here I am, when God calls out to us. I don't think Moses knew what he was really asking. It's almost like when I was in grade school, when they would take the attendance, right? And they would say my name, Andy Lett, and you would say, here I am. This is probably what Moses thought he was doing. But there's so much power in those words when God calls out to us saying, here I am. I don't think he understood the power that what God is looking for, what God wants to use most are people who are open and are willing to be used. People who are willing to say, with God, I don't know what I have to offer. I don't know like all the things that you see in me, but I'm willing to say, here I am. Use me and send me. Now talk about a pyrotechnic show, you know? Like this is, there were fires that happened in the wilderness before in the desert, but this was a pretty cool fire show, you know? This wasn't something that, you know, Uncle Sam started and left burning. This was a fire that was started, was ignited by the living God. And God, you know, set up this campfire right in the middle of Moses' in-between place to wake Moses up, I think, to a new reality. But I think he also put this fire in order to burn and to draw Moses to himself. Got to watch out for music gear around the campfire. But anyway, it's one of those things where it was this fire, this bush that was on fire, and yet it wasn't consumed. And as Moses looked at this, he didn't realize probably the power of this, but the bush was a very similar picture of what was happening in the lives of God's people. I mean, in a lot of ways, the people of God were like that during this time. They were under oppression, under fire, if you will, but yet not destroyed. The people in Egypt, they were pressed into slavery in Egypt, crushed but not destroyed. God was preserving them, preserved by the Lord. And so I want you to notice that when God came to Moses, that God actually called Moses out by name. Did you notice that? He called him by name. And I think that the thing that's cool about this is that God isn't some slouch that just, you know, waits to call out the first dummy to walk by that he thinks will say yes. Sometimes we think that. And sometimes, just like Jonah, we run away from the Lord thinking that if we're farther away from the Lord, that maybe God won't pick us and God won't choose us and God won't recognize and want to use us. And so, but this is the way God works. God wasn't just waiting on a passerby. God specifically set up this fire and called out Moses by name because he saw something in Moses, I think, that Moses didn't see in himself. And it wasn't Moses' ability. It wasn't that Moses had this squeaky clean life. What did he just do right before this? He'd murdered somebody, you know? He probably thought, like, my life is done as far as the Lord. The Lord should not care about me anymore. So it wasn't because of that. It was because the Lord saw something in Moses, and that was this, is that with all of Moses' reservations and fears, I believe the Lord knew that Moses was a man who could grow to trust God completely for everything. And I think this is the same thing that God looks for in you and me. In fact, regardless of any raw material that we bring to the table, sometimes we look at all the different gifts that we have and the talents and the passions, and we say, God, I mean, how can you use me? I mean, look at my life and look at how I've lived and look at that mistake I made. How could you use me? And we look at the raw materials, and what God looks at most is he looks for people who he believes can grow to trust him completely and can depend on him as we move forward. In fact, did you notice where Moses was when God called out to him? Do you notice what he was doing? I love this. This is maybe the most powerful part to me, because Moses was doing exactly what he had always done. He was just tending his flock. I mean, Moses was in this very comfortable place, doing what was predictable, doing what he knew that he could do with his own power, with his own strength, with his own abilities. And in the middle of that, God reached out to Moses. He reached out to him in the middle of his comfortable, predictable place, and he called Moses to do what? To step out with him. To step out into something so much greater. That's what we're going to read about in a minute. See, the thing I love about this is we often think that God only calls super religious people. You know? We often think like, oh, I mean, when I get to a certain place in my faith, I mean, if I can kind of, you know, cross all the T's and dot all the I's in my faith and in my life, then God, then I'll be ready to say, here I am, use me. But Moses, remember, he had just murdered somebody. He was a guy that didn't have a lot of abilities in a lot of ways. And yet God chose to use him. Sometimes we think we have to be in some super religious place in order for God to speak to us. And the thing I love about this is that God will often call you. God will often speak to you or want to use you when you're in the middle of your everyday normal life. At very regular places, God seems to speak as well. In fact, God often calls us to step out of what's comfortable, to step out of what's convenient, what's predictable, and what we know that we could accomplish on our own, with our own power and our own strength. And he invites us to walk with him, to walk with him into somewhere greater that we could never go without him coming through. See, it makes me wonder in our life, and we think about the story of Moses and how God called him out of his comfortable place and God saw something in him that God wanted to use. It makes me wonder how God might tap us on the shoulder, how God, through the Holy Spirit, might be tapping you on the shoulder or knocking on the door of your life, wanting to use you, calling you maybe from an in-between place that you thought was a destination into something even deeper, into something even greater. Here's how the story continues, Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 5. It says this: the Lord said to Moses, do not come any closer. I mean, what was he doing? He was getting closer to the fire. Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Then the Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I want you to notice all these personal pronouns. The Lord says, I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. In other words, I want to lead you into a land. I want to take you from slavery, from where they are in slavery, and I want to lead them to freedom. I want to lead them into the land that I'm promised all the way back to Abraham. Here's what it says, verse 9. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, the Lord says, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people to the Israelites, to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Wow, what an incredible calling. I mean, God is like placing this huge mantle of the heart of God onto Moses' shoulders. He's saying, look, I want to go. I'm going. I'm going to make it happen. And Moses, I'm picking you. I mean, Moses must have been really, really scared. And it's one of those things where Moses was just strolling along, wasn't he? I mean, he's like, sees this fire, it's burning up, it's not consumed, and he starts walking closer like all of us would have. Like, I got to see what kind of electronics they got on this thing, you know? And he gets a little bit closer to the fire, and the Lord is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Don't come any closer. Why does he do that? I think it's because God is kind of like saying to Moses, look, I know you're curious, Moses. I know you haven't seen anything like this before, but I'm not just trying to do some cool show for you. I'm trying to teach you something about my presence, that I'm not like a buddy that you fist bump at the ball game. I'm the Lord God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And I think there's a different reverence and humility that God wants us to have when we come into his presence. That's what God was teaching Moses. See, God wanted Moses to know that he's holy, that he's set apart, that he's different and other, not like us. And so when we come into God's presence, I think there's this sense where we should have this, feel almost the weight of his glory, feel the weight of his holiness. Like, God, you are not like us, and thanks be to God. Because when we go through things that we can't handle, it means that God is not like us. It means that when it's too much for us, then nothing's too big for him. And so God has this is holy, and so we should feel that. But at the same time, did you notice? At the same time, we also see this great love that God has for people. And I love this because so many times when we think about the Old Testament and New Testament, maybe you've heard this or thought this before. So many times we think, oh, well, the God of the New Testament is just so nice and warm and loving and almost like a snuggy God, you know, that is just comfortable. You know, we think God is just loving in the New Testament. But then we look at the Old Testament, we're like, man, what happened? Like, God is just this God of wrath and, you know, there's this set apartness. And the thing that you need to know is the God in the Old Testament and the New Testament are the same God. And so many times that we don't get the picture of what God wants us to see, but here, holiness and love isn't a separate reality. Holiness and love were weaved in together. It's almost like this is the character of God. And so for Moses, I mean, God's people who were suffering in Egypt was a distant reality, wasn't it? I mean, maybe you've like been watching the news before. And if you watch the news for too long, you get depressed, right? It's kind of like you hear about all these things that are happening in the world. It's like, oh my goodness, like let's go get ice cream or something, you know? And we usually like want to do what? We change the channel. We go to something happier or we turn it off. And this is what Moses had done. He'd kind of changed the channel. Like, God, I saw the oppression happening in Egypt. It drove me crazy and it made my heart burn for these people. But God, I've changed the channel and I'm done. I'm living my life in my comfortable place over here. But God knocked on the door of Moses' heart. And he says, hey, Moses, you know what? I love those people. And I can't stand to see them suffering in that kind of way. I want to make a way to come and get them. In fact, he uses words like this. I have heard their cry. Isn't that good to know that when we pray to God, that God hears our cry? Another thing he says is, I'm concerned. It's good to know as well that when we face things, that God is concerned. And then he says this action step. I'm coming down to rescue them. See, we don't serve a God who's apathetic, who just stays in his throne in heaven and just sends commands down and watches over us from a distance. We have a God who is willing to step into our lives, to step into our situations and to pour out his love into action. And so the thing you need to know, this wasn't Moses' idea, was it? I mean, Moses is happy over here. He's in Midian. He's got a wife and kids and the life he thought he wanted. You know, he gave up the life he had before. Now he's living a different life. And God knocks on his heart and says, hey, Moses, I love those people. And I want to grow your love for them too. I want to send you back. And so it's one of those things where Moses thought he was at the destination. And for so many of us in our lives, we think we're at the destination in our lives. Like we think we're just, let's just stay here forever. Let's just camp out. Let's sit around the fire. But we weren't made to just sit around comfortably around a fire. God wants to set a fire in our hearts for him and for people. And he wants to send us out to be a part of what he wants to do in the world. And so check out how Moses responds to this incredible call, how God was calling him to go back to the mess. Here's how Moses responds to this, just like us. Here's what he says. But Moses said to God, who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Now, have you ever felt like that, the way Moses felt? Like when God calls you to something or when God wants to use you in some kind of way, maybe you look up to God like Moses did and say, well, God, who am I? I mean, with what you're calling me to be part of, like, how could I do that? Who am I? That's a great moment when we realize we can't handle it on our own. But oftentimes we come to God when God says, hey, I want to use you. Oftentimes we come to God with a lot more buts than a lot more than do's. But God, I'm too small. I'm too young. I'm too old. My time is past. Let's let the young whippersnappers do it, right? Or I'm not gifted enough. I don't have enough, you know, like I need a resume for that. Like I need some more education. I got to be trained. And we say, I'm not. But we forget that we serve a God who is the great I am. That when we say we can't and when we say we are not, God is the one who reminds us, yeah, but I am. And when I call you to something, I'm going to see it through. That's what Moses did. All he did was look at himself like, God, who am I? He saw all of his flaws like, God, I murdered somebody. That should strike me off the list. Hopefully none of us have done that. But the other thing is like, God, I'm just a shepherd. Like, how can you use a shepherd? Or another thing is like, God, I don't speak very well. You know, the thing you need to know about Moses is Moses had this really bad stutter problem. And he was being called to go to the greatest ruler in the land and to speak to him and to say, let my people go. How in the world am I going to do that? How would he even take the authority that I come with when I speak like that? God, can't you just use somebody else? Sound familiar? You know, the thing is, God reminded Moses the most important thing that we oftentimes forget as well. That you don't go in with your power and with your strength. The Lord says to him, Moses, I will be with you. God reminded him about his presence that could change everything. In other words, Moses, it's not dependent on your abilities and your strength and your training and your bandwidth. And God would say this to us. You see, the thing is, when we walk out and we step out, we don't do it alone. When we step out with the Lord, we step out into the presence of God, knowing that his power and his strength go with us. And so the thing that I've seen over and over is that when we step out without the Lord to do something that's so much bigger than us. I mean, this is not a message saying, all right, everybody, take risks. Step out in your life, you know, live large, step out. Because the thing is, if you step out and God's not with you, if you step out and you don't trust the Lord, you're going to fall flat on your face. This is the thing that God teaches all throughout the scripture. But if God is in it, and if God calls you to it, if we step out and trust God to empower us to do it, then God will always make a way to come through and to show his miraculous power at work in our lives. Here's how it continues, verse 13 through 15. It says this, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they asked me, what is your name? Then what shall I tell them? See, kind of more excuses, delay. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. In other words, Moses was being sent not just with the presence of God, but Moses was sent under the authority and under the direction of God. And that meant this wasn't Moses' mission. It was God's mission that came from his heart. And the thing that's great is if we're following God's mission, it means that God will always find a way to empower us and to see it through. Why? Because God has more invested in your ministry than you do. God has more invested in the gifts and the talents and the passions he's placed in your life than even you do. And he wants to leverage that and use you in a powerful, powerful way. But all we have to do is step out and allow God to use us, to trust him in that. So this is what God was essentially teaching Moses throughout this whole story. It's this, the story of the burning bush. It's almost like he's saying to Moses, Moses, don't you get it? I mean, don't you see? It's the bush. So it's almost like this is a sermon illustration, Moses, of what I want to do in your life. I mean, I did it in the lives of Abraham, in the lives of Isaac, in the lives of Jacob, and I also want to do this very same thing in your life. What is that? Like, I want to basically work in you, and I want to work through you. I want to set your heart on fire for me and for my people. Moses, I want to consecrate you and I want to make you holy and set apart. Then I want to use you, Moses, as an instrument or as a vessel to lead my people out of slavery and into freedom. Moses, as you step out, you have to know that you're empowered by my spirit to accomplish everything I've called you to do. And the thing is, God had to do a lot more convincing as the story continues to go, from turning his rod into a snake and back into a rod and trying to prove to Moses, like, Moses, I've got this. Step out and trust me. But eventually Moses did go. And he was the one who was under the direction of God, freed his people from slavery in Egypt. But it only happened, it never would have happened if Moses didn't step out with God. And the thing that we need to know is that God simply wanted Moses to be a vessel who was open and available. A vessel who was open and available for God to use him and to work in his life. And the truth is, God wants to do the same thing in your life and in mine. And it's never dependent on you being so talented or so good in your life and maybe so educated or prepared, but it's always dependent on how much we trust God and how much we allow God to work in our lives. Just like Moses, God often calls us to step out from what's comfortable and convenient and into trusting him to shine the light of Jesus, to shine the light of God into the lives of people around us. So here's the question I have for us as we kind of close up this morning. Is this, how might God be nudging you? How might God be tapping you on the shoulder, maybe opening the door, knocking on the door, nudging you to step out with him for what's next? I don't know what that is for your life, but there's a lot of ways God calls us to step out into his next. For some of you, maybe you've been going to church for a long time, but maybe you're not really connected. And maybe you're stepping out of something as simple as like getting connected through a refresh group or something. Maybe it's like, I have these gifts that I don't even know, like, God, how you could use this. But being willing to offer those gifts up and to say, God, I just want you to use me and I want to serve you with these. Maybe it's a calling to start something new. Maybe for you, it's sharing your faith to somebody or reaching out to somebody in your sphere of influence who God has been tapping you on the shoulder in so many ways to do that. I don't know what that is for you, but I do know this. I know that if you never step out with God, you'll never see his power at work in your life. If you never step out with God, you'll never see his power at work in your life. In fact, the thing we need to know is that as we step out, we never do it alone. We do it with his power. We do it with his strength. We step out trusting that God will carry us through and God will see us through. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much for this amazing truth and the story of Moses and the burning bush. And God, we are so grateful. We're so thankful for the way that you work in our lives. And Lord, today I just pray over that person in here who maybe, God, you've been tapping on the shoulder for a little bit. And maybe we feel like Moses, where maybe we've been delaying, asking more questions and saying, but God, are you sure? But God, are you sure? God, I pray that you would encourage that person in here today, that maybe if you're calling them into some kind of ministry, if you're calling them to share their faith in some way, if you're calling them to get connected, or maybe even to leap into a relationship with you, God, I pray that today would be the day that you would show them that it's not dependent on their abilities, but it's because of your strength. God, that your presence goes with us and that we go with your authority. And so Jesus, today I pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and lives, and you would encourage us to look for ways that you might be tapping us on the shoulder, to not just step out, but to step out with you into what you want to do in this world, so that we together as a church can shine the light into a world that so desperately needs to know of your love. And we ask this in your name. Amen.